This is the Keegan Podcast, episode 12, Physical Disability and Independence. I'm John Keegan. After many years of teaching and dealing with students that have cerebral palsy and other disabilities and their parents, I've seen students that are ready to handle the challenges of day-to-day life, and students who are not yet ready, but have the ability to meet them if given the chance. The key in both situations is independence, or the students need to become independent. And as I put it in my article that I wrote several years ago, thus enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. New listeners to the podcast, need to be aware that I have cerebral palsy. I was born with it many more years ago than I care to remember. And, I started out, using crutches and have progressed from my point of view to using a power chair because there are just not enough hours in my day to do everything I need to do. I can't get everything done by walking. I just can't. There are not enough hours in my day. So I know the difficulties and challenges faced by both students and their parents. The students that I've worked with are from the public school system. They meet the requirements of their grade level. And many times, though not always, they've had learning disabilities and will at least graduate from high school. Now, even though the set of students that I'm going to talk about in this episode are products of the public school system, and I'm a product of the public school system, what I'm going to talk about for the rest of the podcast will equally apply to a family with a physically disabled child that is homeschooled. Many of my students went on to college. Those that did learned to act for themselves, no matter what their disability. What happens when these students went away to college? Well, this is going to sound absurdly simple, but they left home, the safe place where everything's done for them. And just by that action, they had to start doing things for themselves. They had to act for themselves. They can, for example, make their own doctor's appointments, use public transportation, and deal with people as equals. In many cases such as that, the relationship between the child and his parents change. As the child becomes more independent, the parents are less the primary caregivers or the first line of assistance. The child uses all the means at his disposal before asking his parents for assistance and not permission. And that's also another key. Many times a disabled child, regardless of age, will continue to ask his parents' permission to do something. Could be 21, could be 36, and if they say no, that's it. Asking for assistance is different. You're asking for their help. That means that they have a choice of whether or not to help. Okay? If the child becomes 21 and he's a high school graduate, and this applies equally well, I'm using the male pronoun, but the female pronoun applies equally well. The child's 21, he's graduated high school. Child can do whatever the child wants to do. Doesn't need anybody's permission to go to the store. Doesn't need anybody's permission to go to a movie. Doesn't need anybody's permission to go anywhere or do anything. Okay? He has the right to do it for himself and without his parents. Okay. In many such cases, the children that go to college learn this because they're not at home. And because of this change, the parents begin to support their child's independence. Now, many of my students didn't go on to college. They chose a job training program. And again, as part of the job training program that they were a part of, they learned independence and acted for themselves. And the other category of students that I've dealt with is those that have chosen not to go to college, nor go to work, and they've needed some kind of assistance in becoming independent, because in that circumstance, it is unlikely that they'll do it for themselves. Having cerebral palsy myself, I can state from experience that it is very easy to get by doing nothing and letting your parents do it all. By definition, parents want to protect their disabled child from society and make life as easy for the child as possible. On the face of this seems to be a good thing. But there is an underlying problem. All too often, the need of the parent to protect their child from emotional pain and frustration becomes overwhelming and leads to overprotection. That overprotection causes the child not to know how to function in society. In such a family system, the disabled child never really becomes an adult. And he's dependent upon his parents for everything. As he grows, he stays in as the child grows, he stays within the boundaries his parents set for him. And while he grows physically, socially, he does not grow. Nor does he change the way he does things, for there is no need to. There is no need for him to change, for his environment basically doesn't. He ages, friends come and go, but his support system stays basically the same. His universe is whatever's inside the four walls of his home, beyond which he does not travel without one or both of his parents. There are ways that he could, but those ways are outside his experience. Thus, he does not know they exist. Or, if he does, he believes they're beyond his ability. To use. And more often than not, that conclusion is based on little or no investigation. The first step, if any investigation is undertaken, is to ask his parents for permission to look into public transportation and/or a personal attendant. And regardless of his age, 16 or 36, if they say no, all inquiry stops. From the parents' point of view, in this example, there's no need for either public transportation or a personal attendant, and they don't understand why their child would ask such a question when they can provide for him. In fact, I've talked to many parents that find such questions hurtful, though that was not their child's intent. And taken with their need to overprotect their child, their response is negative. And more often than not, is based on emotional rather than practical factors. Now, the handicapped child in this case perceives the pain and discomfort such questions causes parents, and as the years go by, he gets the same response to many such questions. And the result is he doesn't ask them anymore. And the people in this, and people in such families, do not deal with change. For there is no change in their system. And if there is, it comes from the parents. It's never initiated from the child. And while it is true that a child with cerebral palsy or other disabilities may need special attention, As I said before, these children have graduated high school and have the same rights and needs as any other person. And moreover, they understand that they have them. And it can't be, and in such a situation, it can't be assumed that parent will provide the child an opportunity to learn independence. More often than not, the parents only see what the child cannot do and what needs to be done for him. Now, this is not conscious on the part of the parent. So, what can be done to ensure that a disabled child attains as much independence as his ability will allow? Well, there are really no set of guidelines, but there are some basic methods that any parent can use with any child, regardless of his ability. Number one, allow the child the freedom to fail. People learn more from failure than they do from success. If he wants to try something, let him. Who knows what he and his parents might learn? Just because something is easier doesn't make it desirable. Number two, make him and or let him do all he can for himself. He needs to learn how to deal with new situations and people, to speak and act for himself. Thus, the people dealing with him talk to him and not his parents, even though they are in the room with him. And that's happened to me. It happens to me to this day. If I'm with one of my friends who is not physically disabled, and we go to get a table at a restaurant, or they're helping me get to a doctor, invariably the person, either the maitre d' or the waitress or who's ever seating us in the restaurant will talk to the person I'm with and not me. The doctor, even though it's my doctor, will talk to the person that I'm with and not me. It's happening less as I get older, but it does happen. Number three, our little boy is an adult. At some point, a disabled child should tell his parents things they don't want to hear on a variety of subjects. As parents, they should listen and assist for he will find a way to do what he wants to do. Frank and open dialogue is the best way to communicate. There comes a time when his parents will just not be able to stop him. The rights of citizen are his too, and his parents must decide either to help him become independent or to fight to keep him dependent. If they choose the latter, and their son fights back, they will lose, and so will he. Dialogue that leads to compromise is the best way to avoid open warfare. And that's very important because of the nature of having a disabled person, having a disabled child. As I said before, parents are many the first time, or that are many times the first line of inquiry, the first line of assistance. And as the child gets older, some boundaries, some natural boundaries, some natural things that you wouldn't talk to your parents about, he's gonna have to, or she's gonna have to. As far as logistics are concerned, getting from point A to point B in some circumstances, because while there is paratransit all over the country, and if you yourself are disabled and are interested in paratransit in your area, the best place I can recommend that you start is Google. And get yourself on a paratransit system, even if you drive a car, even if you're able to drive a car. Because if you get yourself on a paratransit system, and you're permanently on that system, then you can use any paratransit system in the country. And that's very important. It'll help you travel. The last point I want to make, point number four, is embrace change. Change is the only constant in the universe. Therefore, it cannot be stopped. It can, at best, only be slowed. A disabled child must not fear change. He needs to prepare for it any way he can. He and his parents must be open to different ideas, ask questions, and seek any and all resources outside agencies have to offer. There are a lot of agencies out there that will help. Paratransit, they said, is the most obvious and the most important. Just Google paratransit in your area and see what's available. And if I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to see what Uber has to offer in the way of disabled transport or accessible transport. I know, at least in Philadelphia, which is close to where I live, there is at least one taxi service, and undoubtedly there'll be more, that provides rides to accessible rides to people in wheelchairs, either motorized or manual. So again, if you're disabled, look into it. Okay, rambling a bit here. I want to close it off. Above all, it is important to separate physical ability from intellectual ability. That is, they are not and should not be linked. The intellectual ability of a disabled child must be developed to its fullest extent. Neither cerebral palsy or any other physical disability should be a reason for not doing something that is mostly intellectual. Okay. So, my entire point is that physically disabled children need to learn independence. They need to learn to act for themselves. And as parents of a physically disabled child, have the responsibility to teach their child independence. Until next time. The Keegan Podcast is a production of jgkeegan.com Productions. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved. For more information, please visit jgkeegan.com.